Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Well, I don't know if it's the sunshine lasting. I don't know if it's the new chairs in the sanctuary. I don't know if it's just a new day, a new dawn. But man, I'm telling you, I'm stirred. I'm excited. I am so thankful for all that God has done, but I am really excited for what He's about to do. Glory to God. I hope you've been believing with me, but God has a work here. He does not plant church by accident. And one thing that I know by direction of the Holy Ghost is that we are not here by accident, praise the Lord, and that we have a plan and a purpose. God has a purpose for us being here. And I don't know about you, but I just don't think that we've reached that point yet. I don't think we've reached the place where we've fulfilled God's purpose yet, but we've got more to do. And glory to God, I'm just stirred and excited tonight, and I hope you are. Welcome to Family Church Corey. Praise the Lord, where the word is preached and lives are changed. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Where the Holy Ghost is not just allowed, but He's expected, and we get excited for Him. Praise the Lord. Where the Son of God can fulfill the work that He is intended to do. Praise the Lord. God loves Corey, Pennsylvania. He loves Family Church Corey. Glory to God. And He is just, I know the Lord is excited to do a good work in our midst. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. I hope you come expectant and excited tonight. Because, praise the Lord, lives are going to be changed. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Say, how do you know lives are going to be changed? Well, because we're preaching the Word, and the Word says that when the Word is preached, the lives change. It says that in so many words, amen. But if it doesn't, glory to God, then the Word wasn't preached. But I know I'm preaching the Word because I have it here in front of me. Glory to God. I know that all God has for us, or I know some of what God has for us, and I know it's good. Praise God. Hallelujah. Well, tonight's message is called Fresh Pressed. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. It's called Fresh Press. And we're going to be talking about the press that comes on us. Glory to God. The press that tries to make us quit. You know, the Bible says that, there is a great and effectual door open to me, but behold, there are many adversaries. Amen. And this one thing that I have learned from being a pastor now just 6 years, but being a Christian even longer, glory to God, I've learned that whenever there's an effective door open to us, that the devil will do everything he can to keep you from going on the inside of it. Amen. Praise the Lord. Pastor Scott just let me know that the chairs look awesome, so I'm glad that he's tuning in. Glory to God. Or maybe he just got it on, praise the Lord, on Instagram or something. But the chairs, we're excited. You know, here we got chairs, new chairs. Praise God. Does anyone but feel better tonight? Amen. Well, we have Pastor Mike Anderson to thank for that. Glory to God. Your back probably feels good too, but I noticed it on my butt when I was sitting in them. I don't care. Praise the Lord. But Pastor Mike Anderson, the pastor of Family Church, South Dayton, and Family Church Allegheny. Praise the Lord. We got so many family churches. But he's the pastor of those churches. He's a dear friend of mine. I wouldn't be standing here tonight if it wasn't for him. He has helped me so much in my walk. He's also the author of that book that we love to give out to new believers and others if they don't have it. Praise the Lord about the goodness of God. But you know, these were the South Dayton chairs, and they had gotten some new chairs when they expanded their sanctuary, and they gave us these ones. Praise the Lord. Lord. Glory to God. And so him and I went and got a U-Haul, praise the Lord. And we went and brought that U-Haul down to South. Well, first I went in Jamestown, picked him up. Then we drove out to South Dayton and took some chairs out there and loaded these chairs up. Just him and I, and then drove all the way out here, which is we're about an hour and 15 minutes from South Dayton, so we're quite a ways out. And then we had to have dinner in the midst too, and then we went and watched a movie together. Praise the Lord! But we good things are happening here. Praise the Lord! So if you see Pastor Mike out ever, just thank him for it. God is good. Amen. Praise the Lord. But we're talking about being pressed. The devil will give us so many opportunities to quit. God's given us many opportunities to keep going, but the devil will give you plenty of opportunities to quit. Amen. He'll give you plenty of opportunities to try to keep you from the plan of God, but we know that we cannot be moved from that. Amen. Now, we know this, and this is something that I learned this week when I was studying this out, but you know, when you're getting pressed, you feel it. Amen. When you're getting pressed, it's not something that you feel good about. It's something that you generally feel like you've lost. You feel like it's already over. That's how bad pressing could be sometimes. But how many know the Bible says we're pressed but not crushed? Amen. So if we're pressed but not crushed, that means it's not over. If you're crushed, it's too late. You can't do a whole lot to something that's crushed. Amen. The other night we had a visitor in our basement, been working on a closet in my basement. We had a little visitor that liked to run around, and so I told Caleb to go get a trap and set it. Praise the Lord. And that visitor went and took the bait, and he got pressed and crushed. Glory to God, and he was no more. Praise the Lord. But we are not like that mouse. Amen. Sometimes we take the bait, but if we stay with God, glory to God, we can go through the other side. Amen. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. But this is something that we will learn, and pressing isn't always bad. Amen. That when you are pressed, what is truly in you will come out. Amen. What is ever on the inside will come out on the outside. Glory to God. Well, I'm not going to go into detail about that mouse when he was pressed, but we know that when we're pressed, glory to God, we will find what is on the inside of us. You know, one of the things, there is a benefit to being pressed. There is a benefit to being tested. Not that God is doing it, the devil is doing it, but there is a benefit on our flesh. And that benefit will show you your weaknesses. And it'll show you your weaknesses generally in a time before you need to find out. Amen. And if we're people that stay with the Lord, if we follow God, you know, if we follow the Holy Spirit, if we're Spirit-led Christians and we have a local church, praise the Lord that we're connected to. Praise God. Hallelujah. Connection is important. Connection is a must. Amen. You know, there's a lot of kids that thought over the years that just because, you know, because their grandparents were connected, or, and that's the way I thought, or because their parents are connected, that they would be exempt from a lot of things. But listen, you got to be there if you want to be connected. Praise the Lord, because you're not connected if you're not there. But the connection is imperative for us, because when the press comes, if we don't have that connection and don't have those things instilled in us, then what's on the inside will come out and there won't be a fix for it. Amen. But we know that God will allow a pressing at sometimes to reveal weaknesses in the flesh. Amen. Praise the Lord. And we need to let those things come about. We need to let that, we need to be okay with that. But we're going to see some stuff here in the Word tonight that will help us, praise the Lord. I'm going to start with Matthew 5:8, and I'm just going to pull it up here on the screen, and I don't want you to turn to it just yet, but it says, "Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God." Now, you know, this is a scripture that has been playing over and over in my heart. You know, God will do that. You know, he will hearken, or he will enlighten your spirit to a certain scripture or scriptures, and he'll keep calling you back there. Now, when you start seeing scriptures, you're gonna start learning the voice of God. When that starts happening to you, praise the Lord. I love what Reverend Greer said recently. He said that if you don't learn to hear God's voice in the Word, you'll never be able to hear it in the Spirit. And when he said that, I realized instantly that this is the number one reason that most Christians don't know the Spirit of God. They don't know what they're hearing. Now, a lot of people say that they hear God, but they're not hearing God. And I can tell in the first 10 seconds of the conversation because of what they say. Now, if you say something that's completely anti-scriptural, then you aren't going to know it. But you will hear God's word or his voice in his word. And how do I mean that? What do I mean by that? It'll speak on the inside of you. I don't know how it is. I don't even know how to describe it, other than it sounds like an inward voice, and it's not even like an audible voice necessarily or anything like that, but it is an inward voice. It's like an inward witness, and you know that it's God. You know that it's God speaking to you. Amen. But the key here is about the purity. You know, the Bible says that blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Now, when we see the word "see God," we know that it doesn't mean that we're going to just necessarily visualize God. He's going to stand before us. But what it means is we're going to experience God. We're going to see His power in our lives. We're going to see the life that He has determined that we would walk in. He's going to lay that out in front of us, and we'll walk in it. Praise the Lord. That we'll have all the backing of heaven. That we'll see things move and things change. But the key is the purity of the heart. Amen. Praise the Lord. Now, when something is pressed, what do we get to? When you think about grapes, or if you think about, you know, even apples or something, when they're making apple juice, the essence of it comes out. Amen. You know, you can take a lemon off the shelf and you could smell it and you get the citrusy smell a little bit. Amen. But if you press that lemon and you squeeze it out, you're going to find out what's on the inside. Amen. And it's going to be potent. It's going to be powerful. Well, the same thing is with the people of God. When we're pressed, glory to God, it reveals to us either good or bad. And sometimes, even if we're doing real good, it will reveal a little bit bad. And that's okay. We need to be okay with it revealing a little bit bad, because that's just a sign of something that we have to work on. Amen. God will point to that and say, okay, now here is a weakness. And you can see, because it didn't hold up under pressure. Amen. Remember, Jesus said, if you build on the rock, that the house stood firm, but the one who built on the sand, the house collapsed in the storm. Well, you know, Christians don't necessarily need to just collapse. Sometimes when we're pressed, we're going to find out those little bits that try to keep us from the full blessing of God. Amen. Praise the Lord. When you are pressed, impurities will be revealed. You know, just like, there's plenty of time I've looked at fruit or that looks fine on the outside. One of the things I think about often is avocados. It seems like it's hard sometimes to get those just perfect. But man, when they're perfect, there ain't nothing better. Glory to God. But when it's not perfect, it's not good. And the thing is, you can have an avocado that looks perfectly fine, but you get into it and it's not so good. It's pressed up. You know, another thing I think about was when one time my mom and I, we had collected a bunch of apples, and we went to my mom's house. We were going to make pies out of them, and we were making applesauce, but we also made pies out of them. Praise the Lord! And I was cutting. It was my job to cut them up and prepare them. And we're going through them, and there was a lot of good ones. Glory to God! But this one, man, I cut it open, and it was full of worms. Praise the Lord. So we threw it in the pie anyways, and the applesauce. We figured it'd just get all mixed up. No, we didn't do that. But, when you got on the inside of it, that what was on the inside wasn't good. Now, on the outside, it looked like just the other apples. And so that's like us. That's like Christians a lot of times. And a lot of times, we look like just like everybody else. We look like every other. You can come in smiling. You can fake it. Praise the Lord. For a while. But the truth is when the press comes, the impurities will be found. Amen. God desires that you always overcome. So he will allow your impurities to be brought forth so they may be eliminated. Sometimes God will allow the press in your life just to eliminate the impurities. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. I was seeking the Lord recently. I was seeking him in prayer, and I was trying to rest in him and on certain things. And I had been going through a test and a trial, and I had kind of dozed off a little bit. And instantly I had, I guess it was like a mini vision. I just saw one thing. And when I saw it, I immediately woke up, but I knew what it was all about. And what I saw was a big vat of molten metal. That's all I saw. It was just a quick snippet, but it woke me up. And when I came out of sleep, I knew exactly what it was. And the Lord was showing me that's what the trial was for, that the trial was burning off those things, or it was discovering those things that were impure in the mix. Because God wants, he wants to use us, amen? He wants to use all of us. There's nobody he doesn't want to use. In case you didn't wonder, if God wants to use you, he wants to use you, amen? But in order to use you, he has to make you better, because the way that you were, the way that you came in, wasn't good enough to be used. And so God will allow times of pressing for you to discover those things that you get rid of. Now, see, if you're not right, you'll take those times of pressing and you'll look at it wrong, which is what a lot of Christians do as well. They see a time of pressing, and of course, how many know that pressing doesn't feel good? When you're under the press, when you're under the stress, it doesn't feel good. But you understand when something is revealed, that it's something you can work on. So when a harder time comes, you'll be ready for it. Amen? Amen. Praise the Lord. Now let's go ahead and turn to John 16:33. This is a scripture I just happen to love. I happen to love all scripture, but some I really love. Some really speak to me. Amen. And this is one of those ones that God started speaking to me on a few years ago, and it just hasn't quit. Amen. Praise the Lord. It says here that these things I have spoken to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. Praise the Lord. He said he's spoken it to us that in him we would have peace. Only in Christ are we going to have peace. And see, this is one of the first things that's revealed in anybody when they're under a press, when they're under trial, and their faith is being tested. One of the first things that's revealed in them is, what are you really in it for? Praise the Lord. Because if you're really in it for God, you press through. If you're really in it for God, you go to the other side. But if you're really just in it for what you can get, when you're pressed, you're going to back away. You're going to walk away because it's the wrong heart. Amen? Praise the Lord. But so a lot of Christians, they come, or a lot of people, they come into the church for help. Now that in and of itself isn't a wrong thing. We are a place that wants to help people, and we should be a place that does bring help to people. But at some point there has to be a tradition or a transition. We have to die to ourselves and be born again into something new. Today I was in the Galatians, Galatians 2:20, praise the Lord. It was just, just something that was being drawn to, amen? Praise the Lord. Let me go there real quick. Praise God. Hallelujah. We'll go back. Keep your place there if you're in John 16:33. I passed Galatians. Found Corinthians. There's Philippians. Ephesians. Praise the Lord. Galatians. Hey, there you are. Galatians 2:20. It says, I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. And so, see, it's interesting. It says the life that I now live, meaning that there's a new life to live. The mistake that Christians often make is that they come to the house of the Lord, they start getting changed, or they start seeing God move, and they don't allow that change. They don't live a different life. They still try to live the same old life. Praise the Lord. And that harkens back to what I was saying back there in after we read John 16:33, that if you're trying to have peace in the world or by worldly things, you will always come up short. What is peace in the world or worldly things? What does this look like? Praise the Lord. What it looks like is when you need something in order to be happy. Right. If there's something that you are not going to be happy with until you get it, that is peace in worldly things. See, when people are seeking peace, they're looking for, that most people think of peace as a relief from the trial or relief from the thing, the lack of something or whatever it is. Amen. And that is the problem with a lot of Christians. They stay focused in that. And that's still living the old kind of life. Because in the old life tells us that you don't know what's going to happen. You don't know what's going to, so you may go without forever. You don't know. And so there's no peace there with that. But see, the new life says that Jesus died and he gave himself for us. Now, it says that the life I live by faith in the Son of God who gave himself for me. See, that's a very important thing. He says the life I live in faith and belief that the Son of God will complete in me the things that he said he would do, praise the Lord, glory to God, because he gave himself for me to prove that he would. That's what that's all about. That's what that means. But see, so many people, they don't realize that life that Jesus paid for us is all those things. They think that they're still caught up, you know, they're still caught up in that old way of thinking, and they don't make that transition. They don't die to themselves. They don't allow themselves to be truly crucified. See, we have to be crucified from our old ways of thinking, amen, if we're going to go into what God has for us. Praise the Lord. What does the pursuit of peace look like? That's exactly what it looks like. If I'm just not going to be happy until I pay all my bills. I'm just not going to be happy until I have my new car. I'm just not going to be happy until I have that new spouse. I'm just not going to be happy until I have kids. I'm just not going to be happy until my kids do this or do that. I'm just not going to be happy. See, that's all finding peace in the world. Jesus didn't say find peace in the world. He said, these things I've spoken to you, that in me you may have peace. Why did he speak those things to him? So we could trust him. So we knew that they would happen ahead of time. He said ahead of time that there would be trial. He said, don't worry about it. I've overcome the world. Amen. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. In the world, you will have tribulation. So therefore, Christians who live in the world, now don't get me wrong, we're all living in the world. But what I mean is those who live based on the world's standards and the world's customs and the world's ideas, and they only consult the world when there's a problem. They don't consult God. Those kinds of people, they only have peace when worldly things are. Praise the Lord. In the world, you will have tribulation. And so in that world that you live in, you're going to have tribulation. You will continue to see tribulation. There's no way to stop it. Why? Because the world never could stop tribulation. If it could stop tribulation, then Jesus didn't have to come. But Jesus came to give us life and give us an abundant life. And that abundant life means victory over tribulation. It doesn't mean freedom from tribulation. It means victory over it. It doesn't mean exemption from, I should say. It means victory over it. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. God is not trying to make men full. We believe in a prosperous God, but God is not trying to make men full. He's trying to fill them with faith. Yeah. Praise the Lord. Faith will keep you full. Yeah. God, I'm going to say this again. God is not trying to make men full. He's trying to fill you with faith. Yeah. Faith will keep you full. Yeah. Without faith, you can't do anything. Jesus said, without faith, it's impossible. But with faith, all things are possible. Right. What does that mean? If you want the fullness of God, there is one way to access it, and that is through faith. So, well, Pastor Jeff, that doesn't sound right. Oh, yeah? Well, that's the way salvation works, too. Praise the Lord. If you don't believe in Jesus, if you don't receive Him, praise the Lord. If you don't have faith in Jesus, glory to God, you cannot walk in His salvation. It is an impossibility. And therefore, if the greatest, the highest and greatest thing that God ever gave us is obtained through faith, then all other things, all other promises. And Jesus, by the way, was a promise of God. He was promised in the Old Testament. He was promised way back towards the beginning. Amen. He was promised before the beginning of time. We know that Jesus was a promise. He was going to be the Savior of the world. Praise the Lord. But you do not get access to that Savior unless you have faith in that Savior. And therefore, you do not get access to the things that the Savior has given you. You do not get access to the things that God has laid out unless you have faith in Jesus and what He did and that He will, praise the Lord. And so you can't do it by the world standards. You got to do it by God's standards. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Faith will keep you full. I don't know, but this is maybe the best thing that I ever said. God is not trying to make men full. He is trying to fill them with faith. Praise the Lord. Faith will make you full. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. What does it mean to be full? It means to have all your needs met. It means to know that you'll never go. What would happen if a Christian just lived the way they were supposed to? With the idea that they would never go without. That no matter what came against them, that they were going to go through to the other side. Well, I'll tell you, folks, I haven't obtained that place yet. I'm working on it quite diligently. Praise the Lord, at believing that and being full of it. Do you know what I mean? And you say, well, Pastor Jeff, what do you mean you don't believe it? Well, the thing is that sometimes I have moments too. Yeah. There's moments where my faith has seemed to fail. Yeah. Thank God that Jesus never fails. Because even when my faith is weak, even when my faith fails, even when I stumble a bit, even when I screw it up bad, praise the Lord. Jesus is still good. Jesus is still a blessing. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Amen. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Faith will keep us full. But we need to stay in the realm of faith, and we are not going to do it by doing things the way the world does. Amen. Now let's turn to 2 Corinthians 4, verse 7. Praise God. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Chapter 4, verse 7. Praise the Lord. I'm going to read over there to 13. Hallelujah. Praise God. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels. What treasure we have? It's not us. Praise the Lord. It's the salvation. It's the faith that Christ has paid for us. Amen. We have this treasure in earthen vessels. What is an earthen vessel? Well, we know this. An earthen vessel is one that can be broken. An earthen vessel is one that is weak comparatively. Amen. An earthen vessel is like like our dishes at home. Amen. Praise the Lord. While my kids live in the house, it is very clear we have earthen vessels. Why? Because they have chips and dings and they break, and I break some too every once in a while. So probably while I live in the house too, they'll be broken. Glory to God. I just get rid of it quickly so nobody knows and then blame it on the kids. Not really. I'm just joking. But the earthen vessels, amen. We've all had that thing where a pot has fallen or a big glass urn has been tried to be moved or something like that, and it shatters all over the floor and drops all its contents or whatever. Earthen vessels, amen? Praise the Lord. So we have this treasure in earthen vessels for a reason, that the excellence of the power may be of God and not of us. This is why it is imperative. Everyone say imperative. You know what imperative means? It means it's a must. Praise the Lord. This is why it is imperative that we trust God, that we have faith in God. Because if we don't build our faith in God, if we don't allow our faith to be in Him and only Him, when that earthen vessel proves to be an earthen vessel, right, praise the Lord, what are we going to do? Yeah. Yeah. What are we going to do? Have you ever got to that place? What are we going to do? Well, the answer to that should be very simple for a child of faith or a child of God. That the simple answer to that question is, we're just going to trust God. Yeah. Because God is good and God always comes through for me, and I'm a child of God, and therefore I am an heir with Christ, a rightful heir. I'm in the right place at the right time, all the time. All I do prospers. Praise the Lord. So this is how I'm going to get through. I didn't say a trial wouldn't happen. Trial is going to happen. I can't. You know what? I have been a pastor now for 6 years, and I have been telling people for most of that 6 years that trial is going to happen. And I still will have people come to me surprised when trial happens. Sometimes I myself am surprised when trial happens. Praise the Lord. But I know these scriptures. We need to be reminded of these scriptures. We need to be constantly reminded of these scriptures. We need to constantly be reminded of the things that are true. Amen? Praise the Lord. That's why God gave us the local church, to constantly remind us. Because without that, you cannot be constantly reminded. Amen? Praise the Lord. Because on your own, you're going to come up with your own foolish ideas. You're going to come up with your own way. Amen? You know, if you've ever seen a separation in people, when people, maybe they all started in one place, but as they move out, as they expand, you know, we all basically came into this country in the same general location, over there in New England. But if you go over to New England, they sound very much different than we do. Yeah. Amen? Why is that? Because there's been a separation and things change. We were just recently somewhere and the person said, "You're not from around here, are you?" I'm like, "How do you know? We both speak the same language." Yeah. It was the exact same language. Yeah. Amen? But they said, "You're not from around here. How do you know? You got an accent." They could tell our accent, amen? Why do accents happen? Because there's separations in people. And when there's a separation, when you're away from it, praise the Lord, when you're separated from the group, there's changes that happen, one way or the other. Maybe the group goes in a different direction and you just weren't privy to it. Well, the same thing happens when we're not connected to our local church. That's why the church is so, so important. That's why God gave it to us. Because in that, he gets to keep his group together and says, this is the direction we're all going. Amen? Praise the Lord. Glory to God. God wants to prove his power. Amen? We are hard-pressed on every side, yet not crushed. Now, I love this because it doesn't just say that we are pressed on every side. It doesn't just say we're feeling the press. It says we're hard-pressed. On every side. In other words, sometimes it's coming from every direction. Sometimes, man, you just don't think. And when it says hard-pressed, I love it when it says hard-pressed. Because when you look at this and see that it says we're hard-pressed on every side, you understand that a hard-press isn't a soft press. A hard-press is what? It's a hard-press. A hard-press is one that you think you're going to be crushed. There is a press that is so strong, you are absolutely sure that you're about to pop. That you are just not going to make it. Amen? Have you ever squeezed something like a water balloon or something like that, and you squeeze it and squeeze it and squeeze it, and you see it expand, and man, you just see it expand and expand, and all of a sudden you see it get to, or you're blowing up a balloon or something, and you see it get to a point, and you start getting nervous because you know it's about to pop. You can just tell. I mean, you could touch it, you could feel it. It's just so much tension, and it's about to pop. And then sometimes, boom, it pops. Yeah. Praise the Lord. That's not us, or that doesn't have to be us. But we are hard pressed. Sometimes it's at that place where it's, man, I have one more thing. Yes. Have you ever said that? Yeah. That's hard pressed. Yeah. That's what that is. That's what it's saying. But it says we are hard pressed, but yet we're not crushed. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Amen. We're not crushed. Hallelujah. Praise. How do you know you're not crushed? You're still breathing. I'm telling you right now, that mouse was hard pressed and crushed. And when he was crushed, he stopped breathing. He ceased to exist. Yeah. He also stopped to cease pooping all over my house. And chewing on things and waking the dog up and making the dog go crazy in the middle of the night and all these things. That don't happen now. Yeah. Why? Because he got crushed. Amen? There is no activity that comes out of something that's crushed. I'm not trying to be graphic, but I'm trying to help us. Amen? If you are still breathing, then you still have chance. You still haven't... The thing that this should tell us is this. See, we focus on the fact that we're hard-pressed and we feel like, man, it's about to happen. But about to happen still isn't happen. Right. I said about to happen still isn't happen. Right. It hasn't happened yet. Right. So if it hasn't happened yet, you can't sit there and say that it's gone on. Right? Right? And so if you feel hard-pressed, if you feel like you're crushed or about to be crushed, that's okay. You haven't been crushed yet. You still have the ability to get out. It may seem like you have no hope. Man, there was recently one thing going on, and I kind of looked up to heaven and just kind of laughed because I'm like, there ain't no hope. There ain't no hope in the natural. Yeah. Man, you see what's going on? I haven't been big on addressing the coronavirus area. I haven't been trying to, I'm not saying it's not a serious thing or whatever, but I'm just saying that I'm not going to live any differently than I did before in the sense that now I'm not going to start living out of faith just because something's going on. I know that doesn't mean we're stupid, right? I mean, obviously, if somebody's got snot coming out of their nose and they're coughing all over the place, doesn't mean you go up and hug them or share their pop with them or something like that. I mean, you got to use common sense too, right? Amen. Praise the Lord. You don't purposely go into the middle of where a bunch of known coronavirus people are and start, rubbing up, like hugging them and stuff. I mean, just you got to use common sense. Amen. Praise the Lord. If you don't feel good, you stay home. I mean, that's these things, you know, it's like they said, now we learn to wash our hands. Well, why didn't we know that before? I don't know. Praise the Lord. So we just take steps, you know what I mean? But see, God's people shouldn't be moved by anything because there's all kinds of things that are going to happen. There's all kinds of things that will press us, but they won't crush us. Praise the Lord. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Praise the Lord. We're not in despair. Persecuted, but we're not forsaken. You feel the persecution? Sometimes the persecution is depressed. Sometimes the persecution comes against you, and you're just like, where is all this coming from? Praise the Lord. But we're not forsaken. Praise the Lord. I'm not forsaken. How about if a Christian just says, starts saying what they know the Word says? Go to these scriptures, start saying, well, I'm pressed. I ain't crushed. Praise the Lord. I'm still standing. Praise the Lord. Somebody got it right. Hallelujah. Glory to God. You know it's a good day when I sing in church. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. I'm not trying to promote a song or anything like that, but, you know, we just got to use what we're given. Amen. Praise the Lord. I don't come from a very sanctified place. You know that. So God's doing a good job, but, you know, it's taking him some work to get there. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. We are struck down, but not destroyed. Hallelujah. Always carrying about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life of Jesus also may be manifested in our body. So we're always carrying about the dying. What is the dying of the Lord Jesus? The dying is the constant persecution. The dying is the constant putting down the flesh. The dying is the constant, you know, we're dying to ourselves. We're putting the dying of the Lord Jesus. Jesus didn't walk around with the coronavirus. He didn't walk around saturated with the flu. He didn't walk around full of cancer. Excuse me. That wasn't a corona cough. That was a regular cough. Praise the Lord. We just got to be. Praise God. Hallelujah. Praise God. Hallelujah. We got to make light of life. You know, I mean, there's, again, I'm not saying it's not a serious thing, but, you know, we got to get to the other side. Praise the Lord. That was a real cough. I had a little tickle in my throat, but, you know, when you talk like I do, sometimes it happens. Anyways, what was I saying? Praise the Lord. Oh, the life of Jesus. That's a good thing to talk about. So Jesus was, he was dying in the flesh, but the dying, we understand what it was. It was the fact that there was a plan of God in his life to go to the cross. Amen. And we are called to pick up our crosses daily and follow him. But that does not mean that we're going to be crucified on a cross. But it does mean we're going to have opposition. It does mean that there will be some things, yes, you can't do. There will be some things you got to put down. That's why I don't understand some of these modern-day Christians that are all like, oh, freedom in Christ, we do whatever we want to do. Now, where do you see that in Scripture? Where do you see I mean, I see things like, this is New Testament. I see things like this where it says we're always caring about the dying. It means you're dying to yourself. Sometimes you just don't get your way, and that's okay. Praise the Lord. One of the things that God has been dealing with me so much on is not having a preference. And I don't necessarily love that because I like my preference. I like what I like. And I don't like somebody else telling me I can't have that. But when God tells me that I need to not have a preference, well, praise the Lord, I need to follow that. Why is he telling me that? Because he doesn't want me to be happy, obviously. No, he's telling me because he wants to make me a better Christian. He wants to make me a better pastor. You know what he was showing me? It was that vat of molten metal, whatever it was. In there, some of the impurities was my preference. Yeah, I'm just telling you, God's burning some of that off because I don't need my preference. Why? He's always going to take care of me. See, God, this is the wonderful thing. If husbands and wives, the way that we're supposed to, like the way that God lives towards us, which is a complete sacrifice for the other person, complete laying down a preference and everything else for the other person. If we lived that way, man, there'd never be a divorce. Ever be a divorce if husbands and wives lived that way. Well, praise the Lord. But we're working at it all the time, aren't we, love? We're going to get there. Praise the Lord. We're going to get there. We're going to be better at it. Because you just take steps. You don't have to get in bondage about it. You just look at areas where you got it. Praise the Lord. Let the impurities come out. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Always carrying about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus. That. And that is a big that. It says that the life of Jesus may also be manifested in our body. What was the life of Jesus? Well, I don't know. What did Jesus do? He walked around, had provision wherever he went. That's good life. Praise the Lord. He walked around healing the sick. Praise the Lord. That's good. He went around casting out demons. Well, that's pretty good too. Praise the Lord. This is the life of Jesus. The Bible says it, not me. I didn't come up with this. I didn't write 2 Corinthians. Where are we? 2 Corinthians 4. Praise the Lord. Verse any. I didn't write any of them. Glory to God. I didn't come up with any of them by myself. God did. God, and he inspired people to write them down. You want the life of God? Amen. Die to yourself. See, that's the thing. You want the help of God when you're having a trouble. You don't look to yourself and say, well, I'm doing it fine myself. No, you look to God because you're like, what the heck is going on? I don't know what's going on. You don't know. Don't go to your life. Your life isn't good. I mean, your life on your own, on its own. Don't consult your flesh. Your flesh doesn't know. Your flesh never did. Your flesh always wanted. Your flesh said, yeah, it's okay to have that extra Twinkie. Hallelujah. Your flesh said, have three cookies. It's fine. Three, you might as well have four. Praise God. Hallelujah. Last night we were at a restaurant and the waitress came over and I've been dealing with my flesh, you know, and the waitress came over. She's like, are we going to have any dessert? And my daughter says, yeah, I have this. Praise the Lord. But we'll take it to go. And I thought, man, I'll have one of those too. Is it good? So yeah, it's good. I said, I'll have one too. And I was like, oh, no, I won't. Praise the Lord. You don't understand what a big victory that was for me. Yeah. Man, a holy, man, I'm telling you, I overcame some stuff right there in that moment. Lord. Felt pretty good about it. Feel real good about it today. Glory to God. And if I keep doing that, my suits will feel good about it too. Praise God. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. We want the life of Jesus manifested in our body. Amen. So that no matter where we go, when there's lack, we speak to the lack, it's gone. When there's opposition, we stand strong through the opposition. We get to the other side. No matter what, no matter how we're pressed, we're never crushed. Jesus wasn't crushed until he said it was okay to crush me. Do you know that? Jesus said, it's like, no man takes my life. This is Jesus' life. It says that the life of Jesus may be manifested in your body. Praise God. Jesus said, no man takes my life. I lay it down willingly. In other words, we ain't going until I say it's time to go. I'm not done until I say it's time to be done. Amen. Praise the Lord. Christians, you want this life or not? Praise the Lord. I know none of you do. Praise God. I'm joking. Hallelujah. I know you all do. Praise the Lord. For we who live are always delivered to death for Jesus' sake, that the life of Jesus may be manifested in our mortal flesh. Praise the Lord. So then death is working in us, but life in you. And since we have the same spirit of faith, according to what is written, I believed and therefore I spoke. We also believe and therefore speak. Praise the Lord. So we're going to speak different, aren't we? We're going to look at things different. Praise the Lord. God has a victory for us. Amen. Praise the Lord. We need to ask ourselves during the trial, in the trial, in this trial, or after the trial is over, that trial I just went through, was there something revealed in me that's something that needs attention? Amen? Is there something that I need to work on? Is there an area here that I need to focus more on? Amen? You know what I found in trial? Trial never reveals the faults that I need to work on for someone else. It's never, my trials that I've gone through have never made me look at somebody else and say, I need to fix this in you and then I'll be better. Never. It never has. Is it for you? Praise the Lord. I have never found a trial, sometimes there'll be tribulation from people that's a result of their faults. But if I know who I am in God, if I respond bad towards that, then it's just revealed in me that I'm not who I thought I was in Christ. And so I need to get back, because if you are who you think you are, if you are what the Bible says you, if you know that you are what the Bible says you are, then nothing's going to ever bother you, because nothing can bother you. What can man do to me? Well, I don't know. We got lots of men, women all around us. It means mankind. What can they do to you? Nothing. They can't do nothing to you. Praise the Lord. And if we know that the devil's already defeated and we know that man can do nothing to us, then what's the worry? What's the trouble? Amen. Praise the Lord. In this trial, or after the trial is over, what has been revealed into me? In me. See, a lot of people are just like, whew, I'm glad that's over. Now we'll move on to something else. But they haven't looked at the problem. They've never looked at what's been squeezed out of them that needs fixing. Amen? Praise the Lord. Sometimes it can be a lot. Sometimes it can be overwhelming. So we put it before the Lord and say, Lord, I know. I recognize this is stuff I need to fix. This is stuff I got to get worked out of me. Help me do it. And he will. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Hallelujah. 1 John 4:4, I just want to bring it up here. It says, you are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because he who is in you is greater than he who is in the world. He who is in you is greater than he who is in the world. Praise the Lord. But if you're in the world, then what's in you is the world. You need what's greater than the world to overcome the world. Amen. You have overcome because of who is in you. Yeah. Praise the Lord. If indeed that's what's in you. But again, if you're squeezed and you find more not Jesus and you find Jesus, then you know you got to get more Jesus. You know, that's the thing, is that there could be levels of it. This doesn't mean that you have, you know, listen, as a pastor, I know this is going to surprise you a lot, but I am not perfect. That there is a lot of areas in my life that I still got to get worked out of me. There is a lot of things that I look at and I go, ooh, ew, that's gross. You know what I mean? And there's a lot of things that sometimes, you know, even like my wife can look and say, ooh, ew, that's gross. Praise the Lord. Hopefully she's not saying that about me in general, but like maybe something that's in my life, glory to God. There's things that need to be worked out of us. There's always things that need to be worked out of us. If we realize that the trial, even though it's not planned by God, but it comes against us, if we realize that it will reveal in us those weaknesses, and if we allow, see, the place where God's people fail is when they don't allow the trial to be revealed in them. They don't allow what's been revealed to be fixed. They just look at it as a trial. They just want it over or whatever. We just need to look at it differently. The press I'm feeling is discovering things in me right now that I can get free from. Amen? Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Isn't God good would do that for us? Praise the Lord. All right. Turn with me to 1 John 5. First John 5. We're going to start in verse 3. Praise the Lord. First John 5, 3. It says, for this is the love of God. For this is the love of God that we keep his commandments. And his commandments are not burdensome. Praise the Lord. Now, when most people hear this, they automatically go to that they think the Ten Commandments. And it's not necessarily that those are excluded from it, but that's not what this is. If you just stay at the Ten Commandments, you'll never progress. Because some of what God's going to command you to do is he will teach you to find things in, like things in yourself. You'll say, fix this, fix that. You'll be convicted. Or you'll be sitting in church and you'll hear something like, ooh, I need to do better in that area. See, and so what people do is they get prideful a lot of times, and they'll hear correction in the pulpit, and they'll think, well, that's not true, or that doesn't apply to me. But yes, it does. Because if you're sitting in the place that God has called you to sit, then what's being preached on applies to you. It's there to help you. It's there to help draw things out. Believe it or not, some of that pressing you're going to feel is right in those seats that you're sitting in. Yeah. Praise the Lord. If someone steps on your toe, you feel it. Have you ever met one of those people that are like a close talker or something? They come up to talk to you and they step on your toe. Yeah. I had this one guy once. I'm not going to say who he is. Sweet, sweet man. Love him. Big guy. Real big guy. Praise the Lord. When I mean big, I mean heavy. I don't just mean tall. I mean big, heavy. Praise the Lord. And he came up and we talked and he was greeted another brother in the faith. Amen. And I'm not going to say he stepped right on my toe, my foot. But he didn't know it. I did. Hallelujah. And he's stepping on my, and I'm feeling the press, you know, I'm feeling the pressure. I thought that thing was going to pop. It didn't, praise the Lord. We got through it, but I don't know how I got on that, but glory to God. Sometimes, yeah, when you're sitting there in the seat, you're going to feel the pressure. You're going to feel like, oh man, I don't know. This is kind of heavy on me. This is something that, you know, but we can't take it to that place where we get into a lack of faith about it. Just feel like, oh, we can't do this. No, we have to stir ourselves up in the truth. Amen. And the thing that we need to know is that the love of God, praise the Lord, that we, praise God. Let me get back here. Where was I? Verse 3, for this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments. That proves the love of God in our life, that we do what he tells us to do, that when we hear the correction, that we do it. Amen? You know, I've always said this to my children as they've been grown up, you know, as they do something wrong or something like that, something against what I said or whatever, and they come to me and they're repenting, they're saying, I'm sorry. And I always tell them the same thing. If you're truly sorry, then you will change what you did and not do it again. Because that proves your love for me. Your love for me is your willingness to abide in what I've said to do. Amen? Now, this is the same thing that God says is that, and see, this is the problem with people that don't teach their kids that. Because people that teach their kids that they're always right, when God wants to speak to them, they ain't hearing it. They're not going to hear it. And they can't hear it. They can't hear God because they've learned, they've been taught by their parents to be to not hear the voice of the Lord. Because the first place you're probably going to learn the voice of the Lord is through your parents or through those spiritual, you know, people that are spiritual over you. Praise God. And so so the commandments of God are not just the commandments, the Ten Commandments, but it's the things that are written in Scripture. It's the things that God deals with our pastor and teaches us. Some people, well, there might be people out there right now listening that hate what I'm even saying that. I don't really care. Because that's why people are in so much mess. Because they haven't learned to listen. Do you know that Christians that have not learned to... Oh, praise, let me go on. Praise the Lord, let me go on this a little bit. Christians that have not learned to listen are Christians that will forever be in trial they'll never get over. Praise the Lord. I am talking about Christians. So I've been a Christian for a long time. What does that pastor know? I don't know. Why don't you listen for a minute? Praise the Lord. Why don't you listen to what I'm saying and say, judge what I'm saying? First of all, is what I'm saying coming out of Scripture. If you can answer yes to it, let's go on to point B, praise the Lord. If you can point to Scripture and say, yes, this is what it says, then we have a pretty good ground to start on, don't we, praise the Lord. But see, so many people get so full of themselves, and you know what I found? Most of the people that do that are people that are not connected to a local church. They have not learned the importance of the local church yet. I need my pastor in my life, even though I pastor. I have never grown up where I don't need my pastor. In fact, I don't just need my pastor, but I need my pastor's pastor in my life. One of the things I love about the family churches is there is accountability in those churches. And that accountability is put in us from day one about the honor and respect that we have for those who are over us in the Lord. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Hallelujah. It is amazing to me that I will sit with my pastor and sometimes just be sitting with him just to sit around a fire or just to hang out. Nothing, but we always get spiritual because that's the way we are, amen? Because you know what? God's people, they don't just sit around talking about, oh, the weather, the coronavirus. They sit around talking about how good God is, amen? They sit around talking about the Word, and that's what we always do. And every once in a while, we'll talk about something else or poke fun or whatever, all those things. But we talk about the Word, glory to God. But just sitting with my pastor, I will have things broke off my life just from listening to him, just from talking to him. And I'm not just talking about if him and I just sat around and we're like, yeah, what's your favorite color? Oh, that's nice. What's your favorite color? You like to drive Chevys? I like to drive Fords. Whatever it is, praise the Lord. Whatever it is, you know, people want to talk about all kinds of stuff that don't matter. And then they wonder why they don't get stuff. Praise the Lord. I have learned to receive from my pastor to the point where I can just be around him. And I can recognize the voice of God speaking in his life. Do you recognize the voice? I'm going to really tick some people off now. Praise the Lord. Can you recognize the voice of God speaking through your pastor? Ooh, did I say that? I did say that. Why? Because Jesus said it. Glory to God. Because the Bible says it. Amen. Praise the Lord. But it just so happens to be that none of us are exempt from this. Pastor Michael. Man, I have the highest respect for Pastor Michael. He is the founder of the family churches. Jesus gave him the vision. But do you know that he has men and women of God that he submits to, that he listens to, that can speak into his life? Yes. Praise the Lord. Now, it isn't me, but it doesn't have to be me. It's somebody that knows more. Amen? Praise the Lord. And you know what I happen to know about the people that speak into his life? They also have people that can speak into their lives. The voice of God will come through man because it always did. How do we know this? Because when God came to the earth, he didn't come as God. He came as a man. And he stood there as a man, a human. Praise the Lord. He stood before us and he did it with all the weaknesses of the flesh that you have. All the weaknesses of the flesh that I have. And then when he picked people to go out, he picked them as men and women. And he sent them out and he said, with all the weaknesses that are in your flesh and the earthen vessels, I'm going to show my power through you. Take that, you who don't think God's talking through people. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. See, that's the thing. People get so prideful. They think, oh, that I know. Well, what are you saying? You're God then? You know? No, you don't know. See, and this is what's got, these are things that got to be cleaned up. And I'm just going to tell you something real, I'm going to be real bold and just so bold to say this. Praise the Lord, because it's real exciting. I'm in that flow right now. That's a problem with this town that people don't realize. Praise the Lord. They don't realize that they need somebody to be connected to. They don't realize that it's not just about church hopping, that it's not just about going wherever you want to go, but you need somebody that can speak into your life and tell you, you know what, you're going down the wrong path. You're going in the wrong direction. You need something. Well, praise God. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. And then some people might say, well, so you're so full of pride, you think you're it. Well, God placed me here. I'm not saying I'm the only one, but if God put me here, praise the Lord. You know what? My wife get up here and she'll preach and she'll be the one. Hallelujah. Or anyone else that's called to the pulpit, they'll get up and preach. Is this the only church? I don't know. I don't know what the other churches are doing. I don't really care. I just know that God put us here. Yeah. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I love the boldness and the fire of God. Amen. Some people don't like that. That's why they're not here. Praise the Lord. But the ones that like it, you know, praise the Lord. The ones that will let me change, praise the, change them. Amen. We had some scripture here, I think. 1 John 5:3. We read that one. Praise the Lord. For whatever is born, verse 4, whatever is born of God overcomes the world. And this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith. What's your faith? What you believe to be true? Praise the Lord. If your faith is, I don't think that we're going to go very much farther. If I said that right. Very much farther. I don't think we're going to go any farther, any further. Come on, English people, help me out. What do we do here? What do we say? Praise the Lord. I don't think we're going over there. Guess what? You ain't going over there. That's just the way that it is. If you say I ain't going, you ain't going. You ain't going to make it. Praise the Lord. God isn't going to come in, swoop in and say, oh, I'll just show you. No. Why? Because he never did that. He never was going to do that. Praise the Lord. We'll go to the other side. Are we going to go to the other side or not? Amen. For whatever is born of God overcomes the world. How do we know if it's born of God? Because it's overcoming the world. When you see a Christian, you know, curl up on the floor and say, I'm losing. It's all worthless. I just don't know what I'm going to do. You got to look and say, are they really born of God? I don't think they are born of God. They might be born again, but they're not reborn into the... You know, Christians, they come into to be born again and they still live the way they always did. They're just the world now believing in Jesus. But they're not really believing in Jesus. They just believe that he's the Son of God. And that's good. You know, I'm not taking that away. But there's so much more than just believing that Jesus is the Son of God. Believing who he is. What he did. Amen. All of this matters. Some people don't think it matters. I'm just going to tell you the truth. I believe it matters. Amen. I've seen that it matters. Verse 5. Who is he who overcomes the world? One who's born again. But that's not what it says. But he who believes that Jesus is the Son of God. He who believes it. Listen, you can't believe Jesus is the Son of God without believing what Jesus would do. You can't believe Jesus is the Son of God unless you believe that Jesus was who he said he was. When Jesus said, I'm sending you out, you can't believe Jesus was the Son of God if you don't believe that he came to earth to send us out. Amen. Praise the Lord. If it was better to have Jesus here, he would have kept him here. But it wasn't better to have Jesus here. It was better in God's eyes to send Jesus back to heaven and to release the Holy Spirit in every single one of us and have us remain here, to have us go out into the world, to have us fulfill the plan of God. Jesus could have done it all, but he didn't. Because that's not what God chose. He chose you and I. Praise the Lord. But as long as you believe you're crushed and defeated, you're never gonna get beyond it. As long as you believe that you're the one who can't reach people, you never will. Right. Praise the Lord. You know what reaching people looks like? It looks like you getting up, going out, and making it happen. Yeah. You see, so many people are just looking. They're just like, well, God, if you send me somebody, no, go. Jesus said, go. Jesus said, make it happen. You want your life to change? Start making it happen. You want things to change in your life? You want things to be over with? You want the trial to be over? Then start moving yourself out of the trial. God put it in you to do so. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Who is he who overcomes the world but he who believes that Jesus is the Son of God? And if you believe, you're going to do what he said to do. Why? Because you believe that what he is the Son of God. And when the Son of God tells you to do something, you just do it. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Most people think of the Ten Commandments, but that isn't fully true. We have to think of more than just these little things. Praise the Lord. Turn with me to Hebrews 3:12. This is where we're going to close. Hebrews 3:12. It says here, beware, brethren, lest there be be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. It's unbelief that makes us depart from the living God. When you're going through the trial, when you're being pressed, what happens is the devil shows up with his bag of unbelief. The travesty is when Christians start accepting it. When they say, well, you know, yeah, you're probably right about that. I don't feel like I can, so I must not be able to. I don't feel any better, so I must not be healed. I don't see any prosperity in my life, so I must be poor. And it's always going to be this way. It never changes. It's just, they're just receiving it from the devil. God didn't say any of those things. Jesus said, with faith, all things are possible. That means there's nothing that's impossible. When he says all things are possible, it means nothing is impossible. So whatever the devil is telling you that is impossible, you have a choice whether you receive that or not. I don't know. Now, the devil has never proved himself good to you. Right? Praise the Lord. He's never proved himself good to us. And since the devil has never proved himself good to us, why don't we stop listening to him? Why don't we start listening to God? Why don't we start listening to what God has to say about it? Praise the Lord. You remember I believed and therefore I spoke? Let's start speaking what God says instead of what we say. Let's start speaking what God says and instead of what the devil says. Amen? We know what God says, and if we forget, it's written. And if you doubly forget, I'll remind you. Praise the Lord. We just keep preaching the word. Amen? God has got things for us to get into, but we will not get into unless we go through faith. The trial can't stop you unless you decide that you're done. Amen? And so, because the trial can't stop you, we might as well just go through and get what God has for us. Amen?